Welcome to The Sound of Economics. My name is Guntram Wolf and I'm the director of Bruegel. And in today's podcast, I'm discussing again Italy, and especially we are discussing the European fiscal rules and how they interact with the Italian budgetary plans. And to do that, I'm joined by my colleague Gregory Kleis, fellow here at Bruegel, who is an expert in the fiscal rules of Europe and will help us understand what are the formal options that the European Commission and the Council have as regards Italy. Welcome, Gregory.
Hello, Guntram.
Well, Gregory, so this morning the spreads of Italy have exceeded 300 basis points again. There was a sort of a downgrade yesterday in the markets again getting more nervous. Of course, a lot of focus also on the banks being under more pressure. The IMF, meanwhile, has come out with its growth forecasts and predicts a growth rate of 1% for 2019, which is lower than what the Italian government assumes. I think it's fair to say that the nervousness overall has been increasing yesterday quite significantly. Paola Savona, the minister for Europe in Italy, has already said that if the EU opts to reject the Italian budget, it will be up to the people of Italy to decide what to do next. So clearly a lot is at stake at this stage, and European Commission, the Council, the European institutions have to think very carefully about what they will do and how they will act in response to the budget proposal. But perhaps before we speculate on what will be their political decisions and what will be the next steps, let's first try to understand what the Italian government has actually put on the table in terms of the budget. So I think the first question will be about what is the Italian budget proposal? What are the main features of that proposal? How does it compare to previous budgets? And how do you assess it relative to what was previously planned? And then we will, in a second question, focus on what are the legal options according to the European fiscal rules for the European Commission. And then in the end, we can perhaps speculate on the politics of all of this. So perhaps, Gregory, can you start by walking our listeners through this proposal, how it compares to what was previously planned, and what's actually in this budget proposal that will be sent to the European institutions by the end of this week?
So basically, the Italian government has proposed a budget with a deficit of 2.4%. They already announced that on September 27. And at the beginning, in fact, they wanted to have this 2.4% deficit, not only for 2019, but also for 2020 and 21. But given the strong reaction from the market and also from their European partners, they have revised a bit that plan. Now it's only 2.4% for 2019, but they plan also to decrease the deficit afterwards in 2020 and 21. So on October 4th, they have published a draft budgetary plan. And also, they have sent a letter to the Commission, a first letter. They have not yet sent the budgetary plan to the Commission. They will send it before October 15. But they have already sent a letter. And in that letter, they explain that they want to have a deficit of 2.4% next year. But this should be reduced over the 2 years after. What's interesting in that budgetary plan that was published a few days ago is to see the forecast in terms of economic growth from the Italian government, because they want to have they think that growth will be around 1.5% next year, which is, in my view, a bit optimistic, especially if you compare it with the IMF forecast or with the Commission forecast, which are both around 1 and 1.1%. So it's quite optimistic. But thanks to this optimistic forecast, The Italian government thinks that the debt will be falling down in the next 3 years to around 127%. It's now at 131. So I think it will be on a downward path. However, if this good growth do not materialize, then we can expect first a higher deficit than the 2.4%. It could be around even like 3% next year. And also, instead of having a downward path, debt could be also on either a stagnating path or it could even increase in the next few years.
Can I ask you on this? So first of all, the deficit increase is intended to fund additional government expenditure. And my understanding is that some of it will go into citizens' income, pension reform, perhaps. What of this... what is going to be the growth impact of those this additional government spending, and what are the factors here at play? I mean, on the one hand, we have a fiscal impulse that perhaps may not be that large, but I mean, perhaps we can discuss a bit the multiplier issue here. But then there's also the question of higher funding costs. I mean, the increase in the spreads does have a negative impact on the funding costs of the economy. Banks have more difficulties funding themselves in the bond markets. Credit cost might go up a little bit, which all affects negatively investment and therefore negatively growth. So you have here sort of two countervailing factors. Are these things in any way factored in the forecasts for 2019, or how do you think they should be factoring in?
Yeah, it's a very difficult question to know how it will impact growth next year. It's true that Italy, according, for example, to the IMF estimate, is still below potential. So when you're below potential, doing some increase in expenditure and having a higher deficit could have a stimulating impact on growth. So it's true that they are going to increase, for instance, public investment. So there are a lot of promises that they want to fulfill on citizen income, on tax cuts. But also they want to increase public investment, and we know that public investment has generally a high multiplier. So this could have a positive impact on growth. However, this positive impact of growth of a higher deficit could in fact be counteracted by the negative impact of higher yields. As you said, yields have increased a lot, and so it will be more expensive for the Italian government to finance itself, but not only for them, because generally the Italian bond yield is a benchmark in the economy, and therefore other yields that are affecting households and banks and companies in general are indexed on that, and therefore this rise in the yields of the Italian government could also act as a tightening of the financial conditions. So this will have a negative effect on growth. So it's difficult to balance those two effects. On one side, we have a fiscal stimulus, and on the other side, given that the bond market is afraid, yields are higher, and therefore it acts as a negative. It has a negative impact on growth.
Okay, so let's try to understand a bit more what is next in terms of the procedural steps. I mean, what can the European Commission and what can the Council say? You highlighted already that the deficit is significantly higher than what was originally planned. The old commission, I think, the old council decision was for Italy's deficit to fall to 0.8 or 0.9 percentage point. Now it's set to increase to 2.4%. And you already highlighted that the debt to GDP ratio under some conditions may fall, but under some conditions may increase. And both factors play a role in the European fiscal framework. And perhaps you can explain that to our listener, because it is actually quite complicated which rule applies when.
So the first thing is that Italy has not yet submitted its budgetary plans, but it will have to do it before the mid-October, so the 15th of October. After that, what happens is that if the European Commission identify a serious breach of the rules, it can already send a warning to the Italian government, asking the government to revise its plan. But the most important step is at the end of November, because at the end of November, the Commission will send every member state an opinion about their budget plan for 2019. And at that point, there will be basically two options for the Commission. First, it can use a preventive arm. So there is two arms in the Stability and Growth Pact, the preventive arm and the corrective arm. Italy is in the preventive arm. But the Commission could use both arms, both tools, in order to steer the Italian fiscal policy in the right direction. So let's talk first about the preventive arm.
Can we go one step before that? So before October 15th, so early next week, Italy submits its draft budget plan. The Commission looks at this and has 2 weeks to come back and ask Italy to revise its budget plan.
Yeah.
What kind of recommendation is that? I mean, this is based on the six-pack council regulation, or it's a two-pack, or is it just the soft power? I mean, they can come back and send and urge the government to do something different.
No,
but it's not a binding. What is it?
Exactly, this possibility. I think it was it's one of the regulations that was bringing in under the six-pack or the two-pack. I don't remember exactly which regulation. You can find that in the blog post. But however, what we also understood when we read those regulations is that there is nothing really binding in that recommendation. Basically, if really they identify a non-compliance, they can send immediately a warning, but it's more like a way to pressure the government. In the end, what will be more important is the formal opinion that they send at the end of November.
At the end of November.
Yeah.
Okay. And so then they have the option of the preventive
yeah.
and the excessive
yeah.
deficit arm. So
exactly.
can you explain?
So if they decide to use the preventive arm of the Stability and Growth Pact, the Commission will have to demonstrate that the Italian government want to breach one of the two fiscal rules that are important in that case, which is the structural balance rule or the expenditure rule. And basically, when you read the Italian budgetary plan, you can already realize, and the Italian government is pretty clear about this, that they intend to breach, in fact, both those rules. So normally, every country of the EU is supposed to have a structural balance converging to its medium-term objective. And in the case of Italy, it's 0%. So the Italian structural balance should converge to 0%. In its last recommendation that was issued a few months ago, the European Commission asked the Italian government to improve its structural balance in 2019 by 0.6 percentage point. However, the new plan of the Italian government forecasts a worsening, in fact, of this structural budget balance by 0.8 percentage points. So it's going in the opposite direction.
0.8.
Yeah.
So we have a reversal of 1.4 or something.
Not really a reversal, but instead of improving it by 0.6, they plan to worsen it by 0.8 percentage point. So that's a big deviation. Generally, countries, they tend to go in the right direction, not as much as the Commission wants. But in that case, it's really a worsening of their position. And this is very different. The second thing is about the expenditure growth benchmark. So the public expenditure growth should normally not be above potential growth in nominal terms. But also the Italian government will breach that rule, and it's pretty clear in their forecast. They also admit it in their draft plan. And so basically, if the European Commission sees that those two rules are breached, it could put in place what is called a significant deviation procedure, which is, let's say, the equivalent of the excessive deficit procedure, but in the preventive arm. Mm-hmm. And in that case, if Italy does not react to that, then the Council can issue a recommendation urging the country to put in place the necessary measure to really fulfill those two rules. And in that case, if those are not respected, there could be a first sanction for Italy, even in the preventive arm, in fact. And this
the deposit.
In the preventive arm, the main sanction that you can have is to be forced to put a deposit at the Commission equivalent to 0.2% of GDP.
And let's talk about the corrective arm. So the corrective arm in Italy can, so that's the excessive deficit procedure, cannot be initiated because of the deficit, because there the rule is still respect, the 3% 3% deficit rule is still respected, but it can be activated because one fears that the debt to GDP ratio is not falling at a sufficient speed. I mean, it has to fall at a speed of, according to the fiscal compact, of 1/20th of the difference between the current debt level and the 60%. So that's something like 3.6 percentage points of GDP. That is what the fiscal compact would foresee as a fall in the debt to GDP ratio, and that for sure, even if it's slightly falling, will not be met with the current budget arithmetics. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. In fact, to open an excessive deficit procedure, you can either use the 3% deficit or the 60% plus a decreasing non-decreasing pass towards this level. And therefore, it's true that in the past, we looked into the previous cases where there was an excessive deficit procedure that was open, and it was generally for the 3% deficit. And we couldn't find any
procedure for on the debt.
Mm-hmm. However, legally it's totally possible to open it because of the debt, and it's in that case, as you were saying, even if the forecasts are right, the pace would not be enough, in fact, to fulfill the rule, because if the growth forecast of Italy materialize, in that case the debt will fall to 127% of GDP in the next 3 years. However, if you really follow the 1/20th rule, the debt should fall to below 120. So even if everything goes well and the forecast of the government materialize and growth is good, etc., in that case, this rule will be breached in any case. So in fact, this could be used by the Commission to launch an excessive deficit procedure for Italy.
So it seems to me, when listening to you, Gregor, I mean, of course, all of this is very complex, and we were joking, actually, that the three PhDs in an email exchange here were wondering how these rules function, but now we've sorted it out. So looking at what we just heard, it seems to me that both what they decide to do on the deficit as well as what they decide to do in terms of the debt dynamics looks to be extremely out of line with what the European Commission and the Council have previously been asking, and seems to be also extremely out of line what the rules and the European fiscal framework would allow. So I guess the European Commission has, of course, shown some political flexibility and some creativity in the last years in applying these rules and trying to, make political interpretations of the rules, so as to give countries leeway in the application of their fiscal policy. But here the breach seems so big that it seems almost impossible to see how the Commission can not act.
No, it's true that it's going to be more difficult because in recent years, in fact, the Italian government and the Commission, they used the so-called exception clause. And basically, you can have a non-decreasing or slightly less decreasing than what the rule suggests, debt. In the case you, for example, implement reforms that improve the sustainability of your debt. So in recent years, for instance, the previous government implemented a pension reform that is supposed to make public finance in Italy more sustainable in the long term. But the problem is that it might be more difficult to use this clause this time, because in addition to having a higher deficit and therefore maybe a higher debt, the government of Italy also wants to reverse this kind of reform, and in particular the pension reform. So
make the pension system less sustainable.
So in addition to the short-term outcome, the long-term sustainability could also be questioned by this kind of reforms.
So I think what you're telling me is that basically we are heading for a pretty outright confrontation. And can you perhaps say a word also where the council comes in? I mean, so the commission probably has to say something, but what is gonna happen in the council, and how will the council interact?
So in the case where you have in the case where the European Commission put out a report recommending to open an excessive deficit procedure, then the council basically has 3 months to decide on this, to really open the procedure. And then so let's say that the report is issued at the end of November. Then the council will have 3 months to decide on whether or not to open it. And after that, after those 3 months, Italy will have 3 to 6 months to revise its budget and to take into account the recommendation from the council. So as you see also, the timeline is quite long. So we have first end of November, then 3 months for the council to take a decision, and then 3 to 6 months for Italy to reply and to take this recommendation into consideration. And I think this timeline is also very important, because what we will see also next year is that this discussion between the Commission, the Council, and Italy will take place just before the European election. And in that case, in fact, as you can see, the timeline allows also to push back all of this after the election. I think that might be what will happen in the end, because it could be dangerous also for the Commission and the Council to really confront Italy before the election, because they will be in a bad situation, because either they really support the government claim that the EU is against them, or it could also support the claim coming from populist party, I don't know, in the north of Europe, that the rules are not applied forcefully enough. So you see the Commission and the Council will be in a bad situation if they do that before the election. So I think they will have a tendency to use all the time that is possible according to the regulation to push this confrontation maybe after May.
Well, I think we shall see how the politics of this evolve. I certainly agree that some in the European Commission will want to buy time, but I also do think that many people in the Council will be not very forthcoming in giving time, and will also say, look, I mean, the rules are, the breach of the rules is so big that, you know, we cannot afford just to play it nice and not to say anything. So to my mind, the confrontation and the showdown could actually come well before the European elections. And the reason is that financial markets, of course, are already nervous right now. But of course, financial markets do price political conflict and political distance mm-hmm. between the European partners and Italy. And so I think it might be actually extremely difficult to push this after the European elections. My gut feeling at this stage, and that's more a political sort of feeling to end this conversation, is that perhaps we might be in for some trouble and some bigger decisions before, and we shall see how this will then evolve. I think this concludes our podcast. Thank you so much, Grigori, for explaining all of this to us. I think it's extremely complex, but as we see, I think it's also extremely relevant in the current situation, because each of these decisions matters politically, and politics matters hugely also for financial markets. And that's why I thought it's useful to understand these rules at this stage. Thank you very much for listening.